Morning. Brought with me this morning a puzzle piece. Can you tell what puzzle this goes to?
No.
Puzzle pieces are they're interesting because they fit into something else very particularly in a certain way, right? Now, you could force them to fit together, right? You could cut them to fit together. But what happens if you do that?
Then it's messed up.
Then it's messed up, right? It's going to mess the puzzle up. Righteousness is a big fancy church word. Have you heard that word before, righteousness? It's a word we throw around, and I think we've thrown it around a lot to where it's kind of lost some of what it means. Righteousness, in simple terms, just means to be in right relationship with God and with others. To be in right relationship with God and others. It's kind of like a puzzle piece. The puzzle piece has a right relationship to be in with the rest of the puzzle, right? And when it is, when you put the piece you'll see the whole picture, right? You'll see the whole picture. When we are in right relationship with those around us, then we help complete the picture, wherever this goes. Yeah, anyway, we complete the picture. And if we try to force this piece to be anywhere else, just like if we try to do things our way and mess things up, we're going to mess up the whole picture. To be in right relationship with those around us is righteousness. And I have a verse that I want to read real quick that goes with this. Romans chapter 15, verse 5 says, "May God, who gives you this patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for following Christ Jesus. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." So he talks about, Paul is talking about here, it is fitting, just like fitting the puzzle piece together, to live in harmony with everybody. It's fitting, and with one voice, we complete the picture. When we're all, as Christians, living in harmony, when we're fitting together in right relationship with God and with others, we complete the picture of God for the world. And that's the goal. And that's what we're trying to do. So we want to be in right relationship with the rest of the puzzle. All right? And I'm going to turn it over to Fred as we head back to Junior Church this day.
Thank you, brother. Happy New Year. It's good to see everybody here. The year 2025. Wow. I want you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 22, if you will, please. Matthew 22, verses 37 through 39. We'll be reading that in just a few moments here. We are starting a new sermon series in the new year titled Building Stronger Relationships. Building Stronger Relationships. And today's lesson is life is all about relationships. Amen? Life is all about relationships. Now, that should go without saying. Unless you live in a cave, somewhere and completely isolate yourself from people, every facet of your life touches a relationship in some way. Everything we do, everywhere we go, we are in a relationship or are in relationships with other people. You have relationships at home with your spouse, your children, your parents, your siblings. You have relationships at work with your boss and your coworkers. You have relationship with the people here at church. You have a relationship with people that you work with, and we have a relationship even when you go to the store. go to Walmart, you have relationship with other shoppers and with the store personnel. And even when you get on the road, you are in relationships with other drivers. And those relationships can be good or bad. It can be friendly or result in road rage. And usually my relationship is, you're going too slow, okay? That was what I often would say. But the fact is, every day, either positively or negatively, we are affected by relationships. We are created for relationships. God has placed within us, within each human being, a need to be with other people, a need for relationships. After Adam was created, God looked upon the greatest of his creation and said in Genesis 2, verse 18, that it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now, the word helper doesn't mean slave, okay? It means a companion or a partner. We need relationships. And when those relationships are good, when they are growing, nurturing, positive relationships, I mean, life can be pretty good then. Life can be pretty good. It's enjoyable. It's fulfilling. But when our relationships go sour, when they are strained, it affects us in many adverse ways. I believe that when there are problems, especially at home, or maybe, you know, problems with your coworkers, difficulty with your coworkers, or you can't get along with your neighbors, or possibly you are at odds with a fellow Christian, then I believe that our lives will struggle. Rarely do we have a problem in our life that is not connected in some way to a struggling relationship. And since God created us to need relationships, He also has provided us instruction in His Word to help us make our relationship strong or make it better, make it more healthy. And although for the next few weeks we'll be talking about the husband and wife relationship, among others, this is really not a series about marriage. These principles can apply to any and every relationship. So don't think that because I'm not married, that these lessons do not apply to me, because they will apply to you as well. So I want us to begin here taking a look, number one. Number one, at three important relationships. Three important relationships. Your Bible should be marked in Matthew chapter 22. I want you to follow with me verses 37 to 39. Jesus is asked this question, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, verse 37, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. So in Jesus' great commandments, he presents us with three relationships that is paramount to every human being's spiritual, physical, and emotional growth. We are created for these relationships and must continue to grow in each of these relationships. Firstly, we need a relationship with God. We need a relationship with God. And our relationship with God is the most important of all of our relationships. God is our creator, and he has created us to need him. Now, yet there will be some people say, well, listen, God and I had a falling out years ago. I don't have a relationship with him. Or you might hear people say, well, I don't even believe in God. Or I don't need God. But the fact is, we all need God whether we like it or not. We all need God. In describing God, Paul said this in Acts chapter 17, verse 28. He says, in him, in God, we live and move and have our being. Without God, we would not exist. So if we want to exist, then we need God. Furthermore, we all have a relationship with God whether we want one or not. You have a relationship with God. We are created in God's image. We are spiritual beings, and as spiritual beings, there is a direct connection, a relationship between us and God Almighty. Now, we may not have a personal, intimate relationship with God, okay? And certainly the relationship we may have with God may be somewhat dysfunctional, but yet we all have a relationship with God nonetheless. And whether we realize it or not, our spirit, our soul yearns to be with God. This is the new year, and usually on the new year, people set New Year's resolutions. And one of the things that people often say, what is your New Year's resolution? What I've heard from so many people is that I want to be happy. And so it's kind of a blanket statement. I want to be happy. That's my New Year's resolution, that I will be happy. And you'll hear answers with some other people will say, oh, what is it then that makes you happy? And they will say, more money, good looks, popularity, prestige, sex. But why is it that there are those who have these things and much more and still cannot find happiness? There is still a void, a need, and that void or need is for something more. There is something that they need more. And they may not realize it, but that something more that they crave, that void that leaves emptiness in their lives, cannot be satisfied with anything that this earth provides. It cannot be satisfied with anything that we have in this world. It is a spiritual yearning that can only find fulfillment in God. Because, you see, we all need God. Will you say that with me? We all need God. But then secondly, we need relationships with others. Again, God said to Adam in Genesis 2, verse 18, He said, it is not good for man to be alone. Now, in the garden, Adam had a special relationship with God. Now, when God created Adam, there was that special bond, that special relationship between him and God. He gave Adam everything he needed. A perfect environment, all the food he wanted, purposeful work, dominion over all the animals. And yet God looked at Adam and said, he needs more. He needs a companion. He needs an ideal partner. And so this companion can come in the form of a spouse, as it did for Adam, or it could be a friend. Merely a friend, someone to be there as a helper and encourager. The main thing is God has created within us an innate need for relationships. Family, friends, fellow Christians, co-workers, neighbors, classmates. I mean, you name it. We need these relationships. Now, this doesn't mean that every relationship is healthy. Because everyone in this room has had some difficult relationships. Am I right about that? Everybody in this room, including those with family members. Husbands and wives, parents and children, brothers and sisters. And you love your family and would do anything for them, but sometimes they can just push you to the edge. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, they could just push you to the edge. And you might feel somewhat like the husband who said about his wife of 25 years, when we were first married, I loved my wife so much that I could have just eaten her up, and now I wish I would have. So we understand that. We understand that. But the bottom line is we are created with a need to have relationship with others, and without them, life would be rather miserable. Amen? It'd be rather miserable. But then thirdly, we need a healthy relationship with ourselves, with oneself. Again, in Matthew 22, verse 39, Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Now many believe that Jesus is actually commanding that we love ourselves. I have heard sermons from this, the three great commandments. love God, love others, love yourself. But that's not what Jesus is commanding at all. In fact, all that Jesus is doing here, he is merely qualifying how we are to love our neighbors because he knows that we already love ourselves. And the problem is not that we don't love ourselves. Sometimes we love ourselves too much. I mean, self-love often reveals itself through selfishness and self-centeredness. And this results in everything being about me. I mean, not only through self-promotion, you know, getting my way, but also through self-pity. You know, poor little me. Self-love that Jesus speaks of is that which promotes the best in others. It treats others the way that we want to be treated. Matthew 7, verse 12, the golden rule. It considers others more important than ourselves. Philippians 2, verse 3. It recognizes that our body is the temple of God's Spirit and that we are to honor God with our body. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20. The people who say, it's my body and I can do with it whatever I want, that is not true at all. It belongs to God. We belong to God. And although self-love is ingrained in every human being, we often involve ourselves in destructive habits and indulge ourselves in destructive pleasures because, after all, that's what we think makes us happy. That's what makes us happy. And that is our pursuit, is simply to be happy. But we will learn in this series what self-love is, a healthy relationship with ourselves. We're going to learn what it really looks like. And it's something that we all need to work on, okay? But then, secondly, I want us to understand this very thing, is that all three of these relationships, God, others, and self, are interrelated. All three of these relationships are interrelated. Now, when Jesus reiterated what the first and second greatest commandments are, he stressed in Matthew 22, verse 40, he says, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. In other words, all of God's teaching is summed up in the relationship we have with our Heavenly Father, with others, and with ourselves. And the reason these are the greatest commandments is because they make up our physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being. This is who we are as God's greatest creation. And within these three relationships, we find a true blessing and fulfillment within these three relationships. However, when one of these relationships suffer, well, they adversely affect all the other relationships. First of all, how we relate to ourselves will affect how we relate to others and even how we relate to God. If it's all about me, you ever heard some people say something like that? It's all about me. It's about my wants, my desires, my likes. If it's all about me, then I am not going to treat my family and my church family very well. My relationship with God will be based on only what God can do for me, not how I am to serve Him, but God, what are you going to do for me? What are you going to do for me? Secondly, how we relate to other people may influence the way that we see ourselves and affect our relationship with God. I mean, we may allow people's antagonism and disparaging remarks toward us to discourage us and possibly even destroy our confidence that we as Christians should have in the Lord. Or we may allow their ungodly actions to turn us away from God. I mean, how many times have you heard people say, I don't go to church because there's too many hypocrites there? And what they're saying is, those hypocrites are keeping me from having a relationship with God. How ridiculous is that? But then we understand, thirdly, that if our relationship with God is not right, then all of these relationships will be out of kilter. You see, the way that we view God is often the way that we view other people. Even the way we often view ourselves. And if you view God merely as a God of wrath, that's the kind of God I grew up with, by the way. He was a vengeful God. I grew up believing that God was just waiting and watching for us to make a mistake and then he would just pounce us. That's what I believed. And if we believe that God delights in punishing sinners, then we will have difficulty being a person of compassion, understanding, and forgiveness. Furthermore, if you view God that way, you may feel so unworthy to even be in a relationship with him, you know, or you may resign just to live for the world because after all, you're not going to be good enough to go to heaven anyway. Just go out there and live it up. Live up in the world. So the way we then affect these relationships affect us, if these relationships are not right, if they're not strong, it affects us in all of these ways. Again, Adam and Eve, as the first man and woman, learned the hard way in Genesis chapter 3. They learned the hard way how these three relationships are interrelated. I want you to turn your Bible over to Genesis chapter 3. We're going to read that in just a few moments here. In Genesis chapter 3. But Adam and Eve were the last to be created. And after looking over all that he had created, God said, "It is very good." It is very good. Adam and Eve were placed in a perfect environment, the Garden of Eden. It was paradise. I mean, we just can't imagine what that must have been like to live in paradise. Adam and Eve were placed, again, they had this, not only placed in this perfect paradise, but they also had a perfect relationship with God who walked with them daily. But then they had also a perfect relationship among themselves as husband and wife. You know, uniting and becoming one flesh as God intended. They had everything at their disposal that they could possibly need. So God had given them unlimited access to every fruit tree in the garden except one. Now I want you to imagine being in a massive garden with all the fruit trees, all the vegetation, everything that's there, and God says, "It's all yours, it's all yours, but there is one tree in the middle of the garden, I don't want you touching that one, but everything else is yours to enjoy and just enjoy because I'm giving it to you." But then that one tree in the middle of the garden, God said, "But do not touch that tree because otherwise you will die if you touch that tree. But everything else is yours." But then we read in Genesis 3, 1 through 7 that Satan comes along in the form of a serpent. Let's bring up that slide, if you will, please. And he deceives Eve, telling her that by eating that fruit, she would become like God. You know, that man, if you eat that, you'll become like God, knowing good and evil. And so Eve took the fruit from the serpent, and she gave it to her husband Adam, who was standing right there with her, seeing the whole thing going down. And he also ate of the forbidden fruit. But this one act of disobedience changed the dynamic of these three relationships. It changed the relationship that Adam and Eve had with God. In fact, let's read on Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. Again, after Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, they realized that they were naked. And so they sewed some fig leaves together to cover themselves. And this is what we read on in verses 8 through 10. "And then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the day, in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?' He answered, 'I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid.'" Instead of a loving, open relationship with God, Adam and Eve now have a fear relationship with God. They don't have that relationship they once had. They have this fear relationship with God. They are now hiding from the very one who loved them so much that he created them and placed them in a perfect environment, a perfect setting. Their disobedience, their sin had caused a separation between them and God. And we read on in Genesis 3, 23 and 24, then they were cast out of the garden. As they lived in the garden, they did not age. But as they were cast out of the garden, that's when they began to die. That's when they began to age. And the whole system would be corrupted. Secondly, it changed the relationship that Adam and Eve have with each other. Let's read on. Verses 11 and 12. And he said, who told you, God said to Adam, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? The man said, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it. So instead of a loving, nurturing relationship of oneness, Adam and Eve, that they once enjoyed when God first created them for each other, Adam is now blaming his wife. Did you notice that? He's blaming his wife, and he's blaming God for giving her to him. He says, the woman you, God, gave me, she gave me the fruit, and I ate it. I mean, this relationship with each other is now strained. But it also changed the relationship that Adam and Eve had with themselves. They could no longer look at themselves as being perfect. They are now stained with sin. They no longer walk around with confidence and self-assurance. They are now plagued with fear and hiding. These three wonderful relationships that God has created for us, that to have fellowship with Him, have fellowship and relationship with each other, and even to have fellowship with ourselves, has now been destroyed. They are now separated from God. But we got to understand that their story is our story. Their story is our story. It demonstrates our inner need for three relationships: God, others, and self. And how the choices we make can either strengthen these relationships or damage those relationships. Adam and Eve's choice strained these relationships. But you know, really, we have done the same, haven't we? We have done the same to some of our most important relationships. That's not what we wanted. It's not what we wanted. But our poor choices and our sinful acts put a barrier between us and some of the very people that we love. It's happened to us. On Christmas Eve, I told my elders that, listen, I'm not going to be able to make it to the Christmas Eve service because I need to deal with a situation that has happened within my family. And what it was between my two oldest granddaughters. Shonda's daughter, Shaylee, who is married and has two kids, and then my other daughter's daughter, Brianna. Brianna has been living with us. And there was a friction that occurred between these two back in, I think it was during the summer. And I mean, it was something that my granddaughter Shaylee started, although she meant well. Sometimes we can mean well and still say some things that are really stupid. You know what I'm talking about? And so it truly caused a great friction between those two. They are best friends. They are only 6 months apart. They were with each other, I mean, growing up, all their life, best friends. But now this relationship between Shaylee and Brianna has been split. And I, as a granddad, you know, possibly as a pastor as well, but as a granddad mainly, man, I have been trying to get these two together. But they hadn't spoken to each other for months. And I was seeing what was happening between those two, and I mean, it just broke my heart. And so on Christmas Eve, my daughter, granddaughter Brianna said, I'm not even going to be with the family on Christmas. And if you know my family, man, we're always together on Christmas. I mean, they come, spend the night with us, and I mean, you know, the whole family, we're all there on Christmas, and they, you know, spend a couple nights, even though they live only 25 miles away, you know, they come spend the nights with us, and that's what we've always done, always. But now Brianna says, I'm not even going to be there. I don't want to be around Shaylee. I just don't want to be around her. And Shaylee, by the way, Shaylee did apologize the very next morning. But Brianna said, well, it wasn't much of an apology. But Shaylee did reach out to her and told her that she was sorry. And that she said, I should never have said what I said. Will you please forgive me? All the things that she should have done. Now what's happened when we do that, we do what God says to do. We go to the people, we tell them that we're sorry. We ask them for their forgiveness. And now it's up to that person. But Brianna is a lot like her papa. She's pretty stubborn. And she was not going to have it. So Christmas Eve, I had been working with Brianna saying, you know, Christmas is coming. All the family's going to be together. I want you to be there. Please, will you please, please, please be there? And she just kept saying, no, I'm not coming. A day or two before Christmas Eve, she changed her tune a little bit, said, well, okay, I might. And then finally, I got her to agree to be there. But she says, it's not going to be the same. I can tell you that right now. It is not going to be the same. But I'll be there for you, Papa. I'll be there. Christmas Eve, we always spend time with family. You know, after here, we do things with, you know, we read the Christmas story. We do all these things here and bring Christ into our Christmas Eve service. And so I got the family together, man. You know, I've got them there, so I'm gonna preach a sermon. So I share the Christmas story. I share what Jesus did for us, leaving heaven and coming on earth among people who are going to hate him, who are going to torture him, and finally kill him. But he came out of love because he wanted to mend that relationship. And so as I'm sharing this with them, you know, I said, I had to bring in their Uncle Stephen, my son. Because to Stephen, family meant everything. And so as I'm sharing this, man, you know, and I got those tears going too. I look at my family, we're all crying. And when we begin to share that and share what Christ has done for us and what that means to us and being a family, that's what it's about, being family. And working through whatever the stuff is. Brianna gets up and walks over to Shaylee and hugs her neck and said, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. So although I miss Christmas Eve here, God was working over there with my family. He was working with my family. I've been sharing this with the elders, and I was telling them, you know, I just kept an update with them on what's going on. And afterwards, you know, where the girls are in there, my granddaughters and others are in there playing games, and I hear Brianna and Shaylee, you know, just big goofballs as they are, and all the things that they do, and just I thought, man, it's just everything has just come together. And I'm texting the elders. I said, man, God has been working. God's been working. That, you know, they have mended this relationship. I pray. And that, you know, they're in there right now just playing games and goofing off, you know. because that's what I wanted to see. That's what I wanted to happen. And so God was at work in that relationship. Because you see, that's what God wants. We have all hurt those most important relationships in our life. And it's not what we wanted to happen, but it has happened. And because of our poor choices, because of our sinful acts, we put a barrier between these people, the very people that we love. We put a barrier there, whether they be your family, whether they be your church family, your work family, whomever that might be. But it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. Because God's Word reveals how we can mend our broken and strained relationships, and how we can make stronger our good and healthy relationships, all to His glory. Because that's what it's all about. It's all to His glory. Now, it will take effort, and it will take patience. But we never give up on the people we love. Amen? Never give up. I put here that we all want strong relationships. Every one of us, we want strong relationships. But we've all been guilty of putting barriers up, haven't we? We've all been guilty of straining some of those relationships. Again, that's not what God wants. That's really not what we want. So we need to understand how important it is that we work together to love each other and to care for each other and be the kind of people that God wants us to be. And those relationships are tough, but they're worth it, aren't they? They're worth it. We're going to be singing this invitation song. During this invitation song, it's an opportunity for you just to, you know, to look deep within your own heart, your own relationships, and maybe there's some things that we could be praying about. Maybe there's some situations there or whatever it might be. We want to be there to help you and to strengthen you, whatever it might be. And let's pray for each other, okay? Let's pray for each other. Man, not even today, not all my relationships are where I want them to be. How about yours? They're not where you want them to be either. So during this series, we're going to be spending time learning how we can mend broken relationships and how we can strengthen those healthy relationships. So don't miss a single lesson, will you please? If we can help you today, if we can pray for you, will you please come as together we stand and we sing.